Chapter 88. Napoleon, reading, Bonaparte destroys the only legal title on which his existence depended. He has deprived himself of the protection of the law, and has manifested to the universe that there can be neither peace nor truce with him. The powers consequently declare that Napoleon Bonaparte has placed himself without the pale of civil and social relations, and that as an enemy and disturber of the tranquility of the world he has rendered himself liable to public vengeance. His flesh quivers, and he turns with a start, as if fancying that someone may be about to stab him in the back. Then he rises, mounts, and rides on. Meanwhile the right column crosses the Sambre without difficulty at Chatelet, a little lower down, the left column at Marchy in a little higher up, and the three limbs combine into one vast army. As the curtain of the mist is falling, the point of vision soars again, and there is afforded a brief glimpse of what is doing far away on the other side. From all parts of Europe long and sinister black files are crawling hitherward in serpentine lines, like slow worms through grass. They are the advancing armies of the Allies. The dumb show ends. Scene 2, a ballroom in Brussels, 22. It is a June midnight at the Duke and Duchess of Richmond's. A band of stringed instruments shows in the background. The room is crowded with a brilliant assemblage of more than 200 of the distinguished people sojourning in the city on account of the war and other reasons, and of local personages of state and fashion. The ball is opened with the white cockade. Among those discovered present either dancing or looking on are the Duke and Duchess as host and hostess, their son and eldest daughter, the Duchess's brother, the Duke of Wellington, the Prince of Orange, the Duke of Brunswick, Baron Van Capellen, the Belgian Secretary of State, the Duke of Arenberg, the Mayor of Brussels, the Duke and Duchess of Beaufort, General Alava, General Oudenaarde, Lord Hill, Lord and Lady Conyngham, Sir Henry and Lady Susan Clinton, Sir H. and Lady Hamilton Dalrymple, Sir William and Lady Delancey, Lord Uxbridge, Sir John Byng, Lord Port Arlington, Lord Edward Somerset, Lord Hay, Colonel Abercrombie, Sir Hussey Vivian, Sir A. Gordon, Sir W. Ponsonby, Sir Dennis Pack, Sir James Kempt, Sir Thomas Picton, General Maitland, Colonel Cameron, many other officers, English, Hanoverian, Dutch, and Belgian ladies, English and foreign, and Scotch reel dancers from Highland regiments. The Hungarian waltz having also been danced, the hostess calls up the Highland soldiers to show the foreign guests what a Scotch reel is like. The men put their hands on their hips and tread it out briskly. While they stand aside and rest, the Hanoverian dance is called. Enter Lieutenant Webster, A.D.D. See to the Prince of Orange. The Prince goes apart with him, and receives a dispatch. After reading it, he speaks to Wellington, and the two, accompanied by the Duke of Richmond, retire into an alcove with serious faces. Webster, in passing back across the ballroom, exchanges a hasty word with two of three of the guests known to him, a young officer among them, and goes out. Young officer, to partner, the French have passed the Sambre at Charleroi. Partner, what does it mean the Bonaparte indeed is bearing down upon us? Young officer, that is so. The one who spoke to me in passing out is aide to the Prince of Orange, bringing him dispatches from Rebec, his chief of staff, now at the front, not far from Braine-le-Comte. He says that Ney, leading the French vanguard, has burst on Quatre Bras. Partner, oh horrid time! Will you, then, have to go and face him there? Young officer, I shall, of course, sweet. Promptly too, no doubt. He gazes about the room. See the news spreads. The dance is paralyzed. They are all whispering round. The band stops. Here comes one more. He's the attaché from the Prussian force at our headquarters. Enter General Muffling. He looks prepossessed, and goes straight to Wellington and Richmond in the alcove, who by this time have been joined by the Duke of Brunswick. Several guests at back of room. Yes, you see, it's true. The army will prepare to march at once. Picton, to another general, I am damn glad we are to be off. Pottering about her pin to petticoat tails, it does one no good, but blasted harm. Another guest, the ball cannot go on, can it? Didn't the Duke know the French were so near? If he did, how could he let us run risks so coolly? Lady Hamilton Dalrymple, to partner, a deep concern waits those responsible who gather in the alcove. Wellington affects a cheerfulness in outward port, but cannot rout his real anxiety. The Duchess of Richmond goes to her husband. Duchess, ought I to stop the ball? It hardly seems right to let it continue, if all be true. Richmond, I have put that very question to Wellington, my dear. He says that we need not hurry off the guests. The men have to assemble some time before the officers, who can stay on here a little longer without inconvenience, and he would prefer that they should, not to create a panic in the city, where the friends and spies of Napoleon are all agog for some such thing, which they would instantly communicate to him to take advantage of. Duchess, is it safe to stay on? Should we not be thinking about getting the children away? Richmond, there's no hurry at all, even if Bonaparte were really sure to enter. But he's never going to set foot in Brussels, don't you imagine it for a moment? Duchess, anxiously, I hope not. But I wish we had never brought them here. Richmond, it is too late, my dear, to wish that now. Don't be flurried. Make the people go on dancing. The Duchess returns to her guests. The Duke rejoins Wellington, Brunswick, Muffling, and the Prince of Orange in the alcove. Wellington, we need not be astride till 5 o'clock, if all the men are marshaled well ahead. The Brussels citizens must not suppose they stand in serious peril. He, I think, directs his main attack mistakenly. It should have been through Mons, not Charleroi. Muffling, the Austrian armies, and the Russian too, will show nowhere in this. The thing that's done, be it a history feat or 9 days fizz, will be done long before they join us here. Wellington, yes, faith, and 'tis pity. But, by God, Blucher, I think, and I can make a shift to do the business without troubling them. Though I've an infamous army, that's the truth. Weak, and but ill-equipped, and what's as bad, a damned unpracticed staff. Muffling, we'll hope for luck. Blucher concentrates certainly by now near Liney, as he says in his dispatch. Your Grace, I glean, will mass at Quatre Bras? Wellington, eh, now we are sure this move on Charleroi is no mere feint, though I had meant Nivelles. Have ye a good map, Richmond, near at hand? Richmond, in the next room there's one.
Exit Richmond. Wellington calls up various general officers and aides from other parts of the room. Picton, Uxbridge, Hill, Clinton, Vivian, Maitland, Ponsonby Somerset, and others join him in succession, receive orders, and go out severally.
Prince of Orange, as my division seem to lie around the probable point of impact, it behoves me to start at once, Duke, for Genop, I deem. Being in Brussels, all for this damn ball, the dispositions out there have, so far, been made by young Saxe-Weimar and Perpenture, on their own judgment quite. I go, Your Grace?
Wellington, yes, certainly. 'Tis now desirable. Farewell.
Good luck, until we meet again, the battle won.
Exit Prince of Orange, and shortly after, Muffling. Richmond returns with a map, which he spreads out on the table. Wellington scans it closely.
Napoleon has befooled me, by God he has, gained 24 hours good march upon me.
Richmond, what do you mean to do?
Wellington, I have bidden the army concentrate in strength at Quatre Bras. But we shan't stop him there, so I must fight him here.
He marks Waterloo with his thumbnail.
Well, now I have sped all necessary orders I may sup, and then must say goodbye
to Brunswick.
This very day there will be fighting, Duke. You are fit to start?
Brunswick, coming forward,
I leave almost this moment. Yes, Your Grace, and I sheath not my sword till I have avenged my father's death.
I have sworn it.
Wellington, my good friend, something too solemn knells beneath your words. Take cheerful views of the affair in hand, and fall out with sang-froid.
Brunswick, but I have sworn. Adieu. The rendezvous is Quatre Bras.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.